What's something that without fail will always bring you joy? You know, something that is able just to get through, you know, your ordinary defenses and allow you to experience just the wonder of what God might have in store for you. I mean, maybe it is just an incredible sunset. You know, those things that just you're suddenly just caught unawares, or a beautiful flower, or a priest wearing an amazing pink vestment. Now, all of these things can just capture us and catch us kind of off guard and allow us to experience what God is inviting us into. I remember back when I was a teenager, we had two priests at that stage, and both of them were very gifted preachers, very gifted musicians, and so they brought a whole new vibrancy to the parish. There was, you know, an incredible moment in the life of Bega, that there was just, you know, the churches were always packed full of people, and there were so many programs and things that were running, from prayer groups to works of service, and it was just an amazing time to be there. And both would continually emphasize the presence of God, the love of the Lord being available to us, the joy of God being available even in the dance. You know, it was such a contrast to previous times in the parish, where, you know, other priests were more kind of strict and stringent, and that there was that sense of, you know, that God was to be feared, and there was this whole profound ability or recognition of the awesome holiness of God, and that we weren't worthy, and indeed we were often just filled with guilt and shame. But these two priests began to open to us the gift of God's love and God's graciousness, that he was available to us in such profound and beautiful ways. And when we hear, you know, that ecstatic song of joy that was our first reading today from the prophet Zephaniah, you know, you might think that the whole of the short book of Zephaniah is marked and characterized by this profound sense of joy. But no, in fact, the rest of the three chapters are just quite awful in their darkness. It was an awful period during the history of Israel, a time just before the exile. And so the prophet was just inviting people and bringing the judgment and the condemnation of God against Judah and against the people who had failed to live for justice. And so all the rest of the book, the short book, is so packed with condemnation, judgment, and the whole sense of what God is going to do. And then there's just this little bit of light at the end of the book, this joy that just bubbles out. And you're like, where did that come from? After this whole period of condemnation and judgment and darkness, and suddenly this bursting forth of light. And I think that the gospel gives us the clue to how we might experience that. You know, when you think of John the Immerser, John the Baptizer, the John the Catholic, I call him, that profound identity that he had by leaving everything. But we don't probably picture John as a joy-filled figure. You know, he's off there fasting, dressed in very scrappy kind of clothes, matted kind of hair. Well, it's often the way that I imagine him. And so, you know, we don't necessarily associate John with dancing and partying and celebration. Often there was the contrast between, you know, John came being, you know, preaching against drinking and all of that, and then Jesus comes being a glutton and a drunkard, often accused of that anyway. And so there is this moment of contrast. And yet John in so many ways actually provides us the entry into true and authentic joy when he recognizes that the way to joy is the way of justice, the way of recognition of others, that the way of joy becomes open to us when we realize, well, if I've got two Christmas cakes, then I really should give away one of them, both for my waistline and for the reality of someone else. If I have two cloaks, I don't need to wear two cloaks, especially at the moment in Campbelltown's weather. And so I should give away one of those cloaks. if you are a tax collector, you know, make sure you only charge people what is required of them, what is due from them. Don't charge any excess. Don't try and exhort others to receive a higher wage than is your due. Very simple, practical means, but all these are opening us into freedom, and freedom is the path to joy. Paul knew that as well. Again, you might think that Paul must have been going through this incredible time of great joy and freedom in his life. But as he opens the letter to the church in Philippi, he actually says, "I'm writing to you in chains." It's one of his prison letters, one of those times in his life when he was subject to being imprisoned. And there wasn't any system of support. It was only the friends and family that would come to bring them food and provide the basic support that they needed. So it's even more extraordinary that Paul is able to express this profound joy when he's locked in prison, bound by chains. Freedom comes not from our external situation, but from this slow transformation of our hearts and our lives, being open to the God of justice that invites us into community to be of service, to care for those around us. In these final 10 days before Christmas, let's indeed open ourselves to the gift of God, the grace that the Lord is inviting us into. Let's look around to those who are in need and pray for them. But pray for opportunities to serve them. Pray for opportunities to live the life of justice, to be people that espouse the joy in the Lord that comes when we open ourselves to integrity and living a life that is based on the justice that God invites us into.